My name is Lainey Zuber, and you're listening to another interview from my project, 2020 Summer Stories. This interview is unique in that it features two participants, Professors Taya Mulia and Dean Frege. They spent their summer in Worcester, Ohio. However, Dean did begin his summer in New Zealand. We discuss how their professions have changed because of the pandemic, the difference between New Zealand and U.S. COVID guidelines, and the challenges of worrying about those far from us during the summer.
I spent most of the summer here in Worcester, but I spent part of it in New Zealand. And to sort of set up the story, I was on research leave last year, and part of that leave involved a trip to New Zealand to collaborate with someone in Wellington, New Zealand. And that commenced March 7th. And the plan originally, it was kind of complicated, but the short version was that my wife was going to join me roughly the middle of March, I think. And that was the plan. So I was quite excited to get there. And the adventure was about to unfold, so to speak. And then everything got crazy. And so it was a rapidly evolving thing. And my wife has a very interesting story that happened to her, which ultimately kept her here. Meanwhile, I was in lockdown in New Zealand and experiencing it there and how their government handled it, and was able to watch through the news media, mostly through YouTube videos, what was happening in the United States. And it was quite a study in contrast. Meanwhile, my wife and I and some friends would stay in contact through Zoom, which is why we're very comfortable with Zoom. And my return got delayed, and I was able to return not that much later. It was the middle of June, because what had happened was, as you probably know, they didn't have any flights for a long time. For all of May, there was no flights. And then they started to open them up in June, but they were difficult to get, and they only had a limited number. Fortunately, they extended my visa. Middle of June, landed in L.A., stayed a day there to just kind of recover and recuperate, and then get to the States, and then hunkered down here. And it was a completely different world here from New Zealand. I left New Zealand not worrying about a mask. And as soon as I landed in the States, I had a mask on and wore it the whole time. And then I arrived here, and obviously me and my wife, we didn't have a mask with each other, but when we went out, we would very much wear a mask and do all that stuff. We've since created a bubble of people, three other people that we sort of feel comfortable with, that we can meet once a week with in person, which is kind of nice, but we do it outside by our fire pit. And let's see. So now we went through all of August like that, right? And then I was in working in the lab, because there were no students there. There was hardly anybody there, so it was pretty safe. And just mostly tried to get back and get ready for the upcoming year, which was in flux, as you know. And eventually I had to figure out how I was going to teach remotely. So that's what I spent most of the summer trying to figure out. I'll kind of stop there, because I don't know, just kind of gave you the facts, and you probably want to hear from Taya, and then you can ask questions.
Taya Meulia, 62. So I was supposed to fly out to New Zealand mid-March, March 19th. And actually I flew to Dallas, and that same day Qantas, Australia actually put in the order not to let any foreigners in the country, so I could not take the flight down to Sydney. And I had to return back. So that was the time when we started the shutdown also at work. So the week after, practically, they closed the lab. I work at The Ohio State University on the Worcester campus. So since then, most of my time was spent in the beginning to coordinate work remotely, to keep people busy remotely. And then slowly in June, we started going back to the lab with a limited time. So I still continue working remotely from home and go to the lab when it is needed. The situation is still very, very difficult. And with the recent cases, I think I'm just afraid that we may be shut down again. I haven't done much in that period, you know, besides going shopping once a week, usually very early in the morning. And when there are no people, going to the self-checkout, I have not done any other things. You know, over the summer where the situation was better, I participated to a knitting club with three other women, and we would meet outside, you know, for Saturday mornings, you know, for our knitting gathering. And that is also gone now with the cold weather. So we haven't gone out for dinner yet, or I haven't hung out in hot coffee shops. It just continues that way.
My first question was about how they were wrapping their heads around losing the opportunity to see their friends outside as the weather got colder.
I would like to be able to move out and socialize with people. I miss people also at work, because now even when we go in, we are in separate labs. You don't meet people in the corridor. Rarely you meet somebody coming and going outside and you can chat. You know, most of the work is done by Zoom. Seminars are by Zoom, so you cannot talk to your colleagues, you know, and just have conversations beside the strict business. I think it is difficult. There was one thing I'm forgetting. I was supposed to fly to Italy beginning of March, because my mom is in a nursing home. So that trip couldn't happen. And I moved the trip to July, hoping that I can go in July. And then, as you know, Europe banned all Americans to come in. And then also at the time I was supposed to fly through Toronto, so that trip got also canceled. And I have not gone home yet.
I also picked up on their distance from so many people they care about. How did it feel to worry about people so far away that they couldn't easily travel to see?
The first trip to Italy, you know, I usually check the Italian, the local Trieste newspaper. So there were one case, two cases, little things. And then each day I would be checking, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I remember, I think I was supposed to leave on a Tuesday. And then on a Monday, we just decided it doesn't make sense to go. And they shut down also the nursing home where my mother is. So nobody could go in and visit her. So that was another reason, you know, why would I be going if I cannot go there? And then it happened the same for the trip to New Zealand. He actually texted me like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning about these new regulations. And I was still hoping, you know, I can get on the plane and go. You know, again, it didn't happen.
That was an exciting night.
Yeah. So. It was, because, you know, I got this message, and then there was a friend of mine who was supposed to take me to the airport, but my flight was leaving like at 1 p.m. And I was hoping if I can board early, you know, I can... I can meet the deadline, because there may be a stamp on my boarding card. And so I texted her. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And by chance, she was awake. And she said, okay, I can take you right now. So she took me to the airport. I was up there by 6 in the morning, did the check-in. Check-in, nobody said perfect, no problem. But still, then they stopped me in Dallas.
And that's because of
Australia. And that because of Australia, not because of New Zealand. I was really sad, you know. Yeah. It was really funny, because at that point they asked me, but do you have another passport? And I said, yes, I have the Italian one. Yeah. But Italian at that point, you know, Italy was even worse than US, you know. It's like, no, you cannot use it. So anyway, so that's kind of how it went. And then coming back home, I just got busy to work again. In July, again, you know, Europe went through a period of, they start reopening May, June, July, till August, till now, you know. Life was normal kind of again there, you know. So they had like a break from COVID over the summer. But we were barred to enter. Yeah. And so I would need to quarantine, and then I could not fly through Canada.
Then I asked Taya how her family members talked to her about the United States government and its decision-making over the summer.
That's chaotic here. Over there, people are told, wear a mask. People were wearing masks. People were told, you know, not to congregate. They didn't congregate, you know, and they were really, they had a total shutdown. They needed to log in if they request, if they need to go shopping. And I think it worked. And they didn't understand how is it possible that here people cannot do the same, you know, by just wearing a mask.
I then switched to ask Dean how it felt to find out his wife couldn't come see him in New Zealand.
It was like a punch in the gut because I went. So at night we were texting back and forth and I was like, go, go, you know, cause she was driving up and I was so excited because I thought they were actually going to make it. And I was just so impressed that she figured it all out. And then I woke up and it was a very sad text. And it kind of robbed the fun out of being there. You know, I mean, I still did stuff. I mean, but it's not the same. You can't share it. I mean, I did stuff and I shared pictures and stuff like that, but it's much more fun when you have someone there to share it with. So I would go on a lot of hikes and stuff there, but that's what I would have done with her. We did Zoom a lot. We were Zooming every day or like FaceTime. We were using FaceTime. Yeah. So we'd FaceTime like twice a day and just catch up, you know, just chit chat. But yeah, that's how I felt.
I followed up by asking how the work he was doing in New Zealand was affected by COVID-19.
Well, it actually taught me or all of us that were working together a lesson. But so what I did is I arrived there, had 2 weeks, as you know. I learned the techniques that I needed to learn and how to operate some of the equipment. I was doing a research project, just to be clear. And I was collaborating with a guy named Wayne Patrick and his postdoc, Chelsea Vickers. And we were trying to study the evolution of a particular protein family. And anyway, they taught me what I needed to know, and I was collaborating with them. And, you know, we were all excited. And then, boom, we hit this lockdown. So we kind of had to scramble. But what was interesting was that one of the things that they liked about me was that I had more of an evolutionary genetic kind of perspective. And so in the course of our conversation, we said, well, what are we going to do for the two? Well, it was anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks, turned out to be five, that we would be in lockdown. And so it turned out there was a lot of computational stuff that we could do. And it was good because we all agreed that because we had the time to think about what we were doing, we actually made the project better. And there were simple things, you know, having to do, each of us contributed in our own way. And for me, being a geneticist, I had spotted some things that them, being biochemists, hadn't observed, I guess. So I helped improve the project that way. And then Chelsea was able to bring the biochemistry together and help us understand, you know, these two families that we're looking at. And Wayne was the group leader, so he ordered us around, the two of us.
Sure.
But he was a good cheerleader. And he, but anyway, all three of us, we had a little powwow about it. We said, you know, actually, the lockdown actually helped this project. Even though we didn't physically get as much work done, mentally we got way more work done.
Similarly, I wondered how life in New Zealand compared to life in the United States during that time.
Not very many people were wearing masks because they didn't have the cases. People were keeping distance and they had rules on how many people could be in any particular space. And we all kept our distance. And since I knew the people that I knew, Chelsea Vickers and Wayne and their lab group and stuff, but I really didn't know anybody. So what I was missing wasn't as apparent to me because I was alone anyway. Turns out the family that I was renting from, I got kind of close to them, and that's a separate story, but we actually got to be, you know, good friends, so to speak, and enjoyed each other's company. I'd bake them cookies and they'd make me cookies and we'd trade them back and forth. She had a son that was at risk, so we kept our distance until we felt like things were safe.
In New Zealand, they had a few cases in the beginning, and at that point, they shut down everything very strictly. And after that, there were no more cases, and you guys felt like it's normal.
Yeah, exactly. It felt normal, except everybody was keeping their distance. Even the last time I was there, I took a bus to go to Auckland to fly out. There was spacing on the bus. Spacing distance was the main way that they were keeping things. Now you'd see people wearing masks in the supermarket and things like that. And occasionally at the peak of it, I was wearing a mask in there. But after that, you didn't wear it that much. So then I came here and now I see what I'm missing because, you know, as Tay was saying, we were kind of hunkered down here. We were things that we were used to, like seeing our friends, we weren't able to do that. Zoom is kind of a novelty for a while and everybody was excited. It was fun, but it gets old. Mm-hmm. It's kind of limited. And so that once we got here, there was that, you know, we were together. So that was good. So that was exciting. And then that turned to normal. Then I think we both threw ourselves into our work. But then we started to group. We did these small group things. So our bubbles. So we started to bring our bubble in because the cases were going down. And we made a point of being outside. Taya had her knitting group that she was doing, and they were outside. And then I had a group of guys I forgot to mention that I have coffee with every morning, usually up by Starbucks, but we can't do that now. And so what we do is we sit in lawn chairs in a parking lot by our cars and drink our coffee and talk. Yeah. So we're doing that, and turn in the weather is probably going to end that pretty soon.
Also, the other thing, you know, for example, the kids didn't come back till Labor Day. And then we did not visit your family till last Saturday, you know, your parents. Oh, we were there once or twice.
One time with Susan,
We were outside in the garden. So everything, all of this is difficult. Yeah.
I wondered if everyone they saw this summer was on the same page about COVID-19 safety guidelines.
My knitting group, some of the ladies there have different views, you know, on distance and so on. Well, when we are outside knitting, we end up not wearing the mask. You know, I'm trying to convince them, you know, that really, really helps. If it is such a small thing that they are asking you, you know, why not doing it? You know, some people think they're breathing your CO2, you can harm yourself. Just ridiculous things like that, and trying to convince them that there is scientific evidence that helps.
He's right at the edge, you know,
the
blue-red.
Yeah, they are more red, way more red than I am.
My guys
but
are
still,
all
they are very nice ladies, but sometimes I think, oh God, you know, why do they think that way? It again, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, but I really believe that, and so on.
Then, considering that they both work in STEM, I asked how it felt to see so many people ignoring the clear data that was coming out of their field about the virus.
Yeah, you can see the people around you, you know, and you can understand, you know, they never had rigorous scientific, you know, training and so on. But when you see these in our leaders, that is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah,
that is something I just get sick of it. I cannot tolerate.
And trying to talk to people that you don't know very well is hard. I did speak with one person. He would drive by us occasionally and wave and say things to us when we were sitting in the parking lot. And we knew him, but I also knew he wouldn't wear a mask into Panera's where we would get coffee. And one time I said something to him. It didn't go over well. I have to figure out how to do it better.
I followed up this question by opening the door for them to discuss their opinions on U.S. leadership, if they felt comfortable.
Well, I'll let Taya speak first.
Well, my family in Italy, you know, we view things similarly, mm-hmm. you know, and there you have more of a place, you know, where the leaders can tell you what to do, you know, and they can have laws. You know, the police can go out and not let somebody without a mask going into a store. So you can do that, you know. That's why these things worked well, you know, because they said, you know, we are going to close everything down and people are not going to be able to move to travel within the country. And that worked reasonably well, you know, thinking that their summer was normal. You know, I have cousins and aunt in Canada, and they are in the same situation, and they are amazed what is happening here there too. You know, they were told to wear masks, they were wearing masks, and in London, Ontario, that's like quite a big city, they had this over the summer, like one case a day, what is way more than we even have in Wake County.
And way less
than we have in Wake County. And there it's also starting again now over the winter, but people are just amazed in how chaotic the situation is here in the United States. You know, this is a country where people are looking up, you know, where we have the best scientists, we have the best research. You know, this is a complete mess, you know, everybody's doing whatever they want, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't have clear leadership in how we should face this threat.
I'll say as an American, it's been extremely disappointing to see that unlike 9/11, when we came together, it was a Republican leader and I didn't vote for him and didn't care for him, but I really appreciated how he brought everybody together and he got us all on the same team. We're all pulling in the same direction. So I give him a lot of credit for that. That didn't happen this time. And it was very evident when I saw in New Zealand that everybody listened to everything that Jacinda said. I mean, they said, okay, that's the rule. That's what we're going to do. Boom. And they didn't do it because they were like obedient. They were like, okay, we're all on the same team. She's the coach. She's telling us what to do. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much what happened with George Bush, that he was our coach. He was telling us what to do. We're all on the same team. Mm-hmm. Well, this time, it's not happening. People feel like they're on different teams now. It's like, I don't understand. Well, I understand how it got there. It's because of Trump, but it couldn't have been, didn't have to be that way. Yeah. Sorry.
And even here in Ohio, I see our governor, DeWine, did a pretty good job, you know. And I remember that in March, he implemented masks, that everybody should be wearing masks. And then I don't know, his political allies and so on started to complaining. So he backed off that. Mm-hmm. I wish he had stick to his guns, you know.
Yeah.
So overall, he did.
He did great. New Zealand was really asking me about him because they were reading about him and saying, wow, you know, he's a Republican governor who's bucking the trend of the Republicans and was actually doing, you know, good leadership being a coach. So I was quite proud.
Yeah.
The other thing that for me is just unbelievable that all these health advisors and doctors, you know, that are advising the government are getting death threats. This is just something
that
unbelievable. How is that possible?
I did talk to a guy, he's at the college, who's a Republican, and he's a staff member. You know, I know him socially in the sense that I work with him. And he's talked a little bit about, we kind of talk around things so we don't get into a fight. So we're both being very polite. But it's very clear that what he thinks is most important, and he's getting that from the president, is that we don't wreck the economy. So that's what he's emphasizing.
Well, we're wrecking it anyway.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they don't see it that way. They open up everything, and then it's like, well, what happens?
Just to note, there was a slight glitch in the Zoom call here. But basically, Dean was discussing how the overriding message from leadership was that the economy was really the most important thing, and that this is what this person that he was speaking to really believed as well.
Listen, I'm not saying he's stupid or anything, but he's couching things in those terms. And he wears the mask when he's on campus and he does all that, so he's following the rules. But it's clear that he's seeing a different threat than I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in New York, you know, when they had so many cases, they said, do not resuscitate if you had, if you are in cardiac arrest, because they didn't know where to put these people. Do you want to be again in that situation?
Yeah.
It's not just so many deaths, but there are other collateral people that may die because they don't get access to the healthcare.
Actually, Taya got lucky. She had a surgery in the winter before this hit. If it had been, the timing had been off, you wouldn't have done the surgery.
Yeah, because they had to hold their services.
So she got lucky in a way.
I also asked how their careers as professors changed due to the pandemic.
Well, the New Zealand story about how stopping and thinking through made the project better. I think a lot of us are shifting gears and doing more computational stuff. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it may help a particular project. Mm-hmm. In other cases, people may find themselves doing something different or new. I think research has taken a hit, as far as I can tell. I have taken a survey or two on campus through different scientific agencies like AAAS, American Science Organization. And it's clear that they're trying to find out what the impact is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've told them it's impacted me, but, you know, I'm not in a big research. Taya's in a bigger research facility. So mine is going to be a smaller impact, but I think it's emblematic of what's happening at other places.
Yeah, for us, if I think about my lab, you know, in the beginning, it was actually almost nice to say, oh, when they shut down, I said, well, wonderful, we're going to be home till end of April, you know. And it was not so bad because we had time to address all those things that usually accumulate, you know, right? Redo the website, you know, redo our protocols, reorganize the fiscal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of nice to have time to read more, you know. I went to seminars more often, you know, and I went to seminars also that are not directly related to what we are doing in the lab. So that was nice. That was really nice. How the whole science is going to be impacted, you know, down the road, it's kind of a little bit more difficult to know. Mm-hmm. I imagine that at least for us and OSU and OARDC, probably there are certain things that are gonna stick, you know, mm-hmm. like for example, online seminars. And I wonder if working from home is gonna be more acceptable instead of getting in there, you know, from 9 to 5 and so on. You know, meetings in person, scientific meetings, you know, it's okay doing it remotely, but at meetings you also make personal connections. Mm-hmm. And through the years, I always thought that those were very, very helpful for me, you know, because yeah. you can always rely on somebody to call and ask questions or discuss mm-hmm. things, you know, and hopefully those are going to come back because I think those are useful.
You need that interpersonal connection for those collaborations, who you might want to work with, and, you know, you can size them up, so to speak, better than you can in a Zoom meeting. Plus, it's easier to just have a casual conversation.
Yeah.
Teaching will probably change, too, because that's also, mm-hmm. since we teach science, I'll probably use more videos than I would have ordinarily. Trial by fire. I figured out how to use them. So I'll probably use them.
Then I asked how they went about planning the school year over the summer.
I was trying to take it as an opportunity to do something different. And unfortunately, my ambition exceeded my time and ability. My ambition was, and I did this part fine, to weave the coronavirus into, I teach genetics, so I was going to weave it into the course as a series of structured assignments that took them through what was happening sort of real time with the coronavirus. Like, what does the genome look like? How do they identify the protein? What's different about this virus versus other beta coronaviruses, mm-hmm. et cetera. So that was fun. That was exciting. And that was seizing an opportunity. I was going to try to use the videos based off everything I'd heard and learned. The college did a good job of prepping us, you know, make sure they're short, that kind of stuff. But the crush of time, and I was teaching, and it was a new course for me. So I had a lot of prep that if I didn't have to do that prep, I might've been able to do some of the other things. But to create videos as learning experiences that can be done outside of the class and leave the class more for problem solving, Q&A, discussion, that kind of stuff. Still can do it, but not quite as much as I had hoped.
I asked Dean if he interacted with anyone in New Zealand who had something to say about the Black Lives Matter uprisings taking place in the United States.
Not as much. It wasn't. The family definitely didn't really talk about it. You know, Wayne, we'd go out for beers, we'd talk about it a little bit, or on the Zoom. Actually, it's more like we would have a Zoom meeting, a Zoom happy hour, and have a beer and talk about it. But they were more like, what's going on? And, you know, I was trying to piece it together to understand what was going on. And not being here, you know, it's not the same thing. I could read about it, and I kind of understood it. But then, actually, that's good that you brought it up, because when I got back, I think there was a march soon after, right?
Yeah, we went to there was a march downtown.
Yeah,
and so I have colleagues like who are black, has black kids, and you know they were protesting.
So we went to the major one that was downtown, and then we participated in a couple of protests. I don't know if they're Black Lives Matters or Democratic rallies. They're kind of a fusion, but you see a lot of the Black Lives Matters, but you also see a lot
downtown,
of other stuff.
You know,
yeah, they're everywhere. So it was good to be involved in it and not just read about it.
Great that somebody has the energy
to do it,
you know, because I don't know, nothing is going to happen if we are not loud.
I brought this topic back home by asking Taya what the initial community response was in Worcester.
Well, yeah, of course, the people I am associated with are mainly my colleagues. Everybody was appalled what happened. We went to protest. Well, keeping the distance, you know, I mm-hmm. never was in any place, you know, where I would put others at risk or, you know, be too close or with the mask. I didn't dare going to any larger protest, but I know that, for example, he went to Washington. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So younger kids, you know, participated in this way more vigorously.
Son's friends is, I don't know if you know him,
true.
A graduate from the college.
Yeah.
And he's one of the principal organizers, active in politics in the area.
Yes, that's right.
When we went to the rally, he was one of the speakers, so we're quite proud. He was a good friend. He still is a good friend.
I asked where their kids lived, and then I wanted to know what it was like seeing them over the summer.
One is in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And the other one is in Cincinnati. Yeah, they came back home around Labor Day. We went to visit once Martina in Ann Arbor. She's safe. She got COVID while working in the hospital in Detroit. So she's the one that now, hopefully, at least for some time, is immune. So we went there, stayed with them, ordered food, you know, take out, and came back. We saw Martina and her fiancé. But Stefan, he works in, he's a programmer. And mostly he works from home, but he goes in and I think he has a bigger bubble, you know. So
probably a little bit
we
more
don't feel
than
that safe at his place as we do at Martina's place. But both came back in for Labor Day. It was really nice.
As I reached the end of my initial questions, I asked if there was anything else they wanted to talk about.
We, like I said, we have a bubble. That gives us sanity. We meet up back. We did go out, but it was mostly for hikes, which is what I was doing in New Zealand anyway.
We go to the parks and hiking.
And we've had opportunities.
We went biking, stuff like that.
We discovered some nice parks locally that are not that far that we hadn't otherwise known about. Mm-hmm. We do miss going out to dinner and supporting the local businesses. We do try to use carryout, but we've been cooking a lot. Everybody, so I mean, in New Zealand, I was baking. I'm not much of a baker, but.
Then I really wanted to know what they had been baking.
I was baking those cookies that I was exchanging with my host family. And then I baked bread, which it was good. It was okay. She bakes way better bread than I do. And little pies and cakes. I also just cook. I like to cook. I can cook, but baking is not my thing. But when you're stuck and you want something sweet.
I brought up how interesting it was to see what projects people jumped into, and I asked about Taya's knitting.
Well, I did some stuff for my daughter. She wanted a hat, she wanted a shawl that she sewed, and I just can't remember. Yeah, socks. Ooh. And
you made the blankets for my guy. So it's getting colder out in the parking lot, the wind can kick up sometimes. She made some blankets for a couple of, the other two didn't want them. I know, they're too proud.
Yeah.
Me and the other guy, Doug, we wear our blankets in our chairs, you know, sitting here.
I spend more time in the garden too. Yeah. I did more gardening than I usually do, you know. Because
your bees.
Well, my bees are there.
They're probably getting more attention than they ever have.
Well, let's hope they're going to survive this winter.
But she's done more with them this year than she did the previous 2 years.
They require work.
Hopefully they'll survive.
That's the nice part, not to be at work all the time, you know, because you can break the day, do something, come back.
I say that's something that you've particularly appreciated was that this new work style, provided she can have all her social life back, working at home has been a big, big thumbs up.
Yeah, I think people are a little bit, at least me, I'm a little bit more efficient. Because when I'm there is constantly somebody, and then you get interrupted, and then you have to rethink, okay, what I was doing and where I was, maybe with my thoughts. When you're home, it is just more of an uninterrupted work when you have to.
But you're able
something.
To take nice, pleasant breaks.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I can take a break. I'm not interrupted by others.
For me, it's kind of the opposite. I'm not very efficient at home. So I go to work, but it's nice because there's no one there. There are very few of us, so I'm able to work uninterrupted. You know, I like the interruption, so it's not like they're bad, but I can see that I'm more productive. And I can work in the lab. Well, we have IS students right now, so that I do interact with them.
And probably at work also, I wouldn't be interrupted that much, you know, because we are at 50% capacity for the building. People just go in and out and do what they have to do, so we are not allowed to have more than one person in our little offices or little labs, so people would not come through.
This brought up another question about COVID-19 guidelines, and I asked how their institution's guidelines compared.
Well, we get guidelines from the university, from the central university, and then they trickle down to the different colleges, and then we have guidelines for the whole college. I mean, the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences. You know, that's how it works. So you just have to adhere to those guidelines. And in the beginning also, you know, it was a lot of work for them figuring out how we are going to be dealing with all this COVID, you know, how we are going to be slowly reopening.
She's at a bigger place and the rules are more standardized and everybody sort of has to follow them. At least at our place, it's kind of more ad hoc, kind of invented on the fly. We do have rules, obviously, but because were much fewer layers and were much closer to the administration, we have the ability to sort of, hey, you know, that isn't quite working here. And that's not as true for a big place because it just gets so chaotic if you started to make exceptions. So like probably we have more people in our lab than they would allow with their students. So that's one rule that's different between the two. And I think it just reflects, not that they wouldn't want to, but yeah, it's easier for Ohio State to say, this is the rule, boom, that's yeah, it. So it's easier for them to manage. Here we can sort of make adjustments because it's a little bit closer to the leadership.
Yeah, and one thing that's different, for example, we can still, and I still have to track exactly who's where, when, every day strictly, because if somebody gets positive, you know, that is going to be helpful for the contact mm-hmm. tracing. And they started doing also these random testing, mm-hmm. you know, to have an idea, you know, if you have some disease popping up in places. So they do, I don't know, they test about 100 people every week randomly, asymptomatic, and let's hope that they can monitor the disease that well, pretty well. If one of my employees tests positive, I would know, but I'm not supposed to say right. to anybody. Right. And then I have to organize the other people, you know, yeah. if they were around.
Well, it's going to be a big, what do you call it? I don't know, benchmark for your generation.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are all going to have that in common, no matter who you see, no matter where they are in the world. Generation will have that in common.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out more stories at WorcesterDigital.org/2020 Summer Stories.